You guys have been doing good work the last couple weeks.
Right. Last week was without you. Was the week before without you too?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, it was me and Harper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, two men.
It was all right.
This is a two.
I mean, I was great, but Coulson. I mean, I had to carry that show.
Is your back okay from that?
Sorry, I didn't bring it.
It was a road game for him.
That's right. I perform better at home.
Well, we always do the role players.
Role players always play better at home.
Exactly.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and be the whole goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your Pacers audio hour and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is June 13th, 2017. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're wrapping up the NBA final, asking whether KD has broken basketball and working through our emotions about the rumored Paul George trade. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Got the whole crew back together. Very excited about this. I wanted to give a shout-out to my family, who's going to be in town this weekend. So I'm excited to see them.
Nice.
And we're going to be hanging out in my new house. So I'll actually officially be back in the district, be coming to you live from the district.
And a homeowner. Congratulations.
Thanks.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Yeah, from Indianapolis just. Just got out of the car. 5-day road trip. Went down to Clarksdale, Mississippi. For Gendrick Brothers' wedding, had a great time. Shout out to everybody. And on a long trip, we went down to Vicksburg and drove the Blues Highway and had a great time.
And from Eugene, Oregon, out west, is our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, fellas? Happy to have everybody in the same room. Skype call. Internet. I didn't bring a shout out today, but... shout out to Charlie and Nico. Yeah, we got a couple of really good listeners who always give us great critiques. So shout out to those guys.
Indeed.
I want to give a shout out this week to the Indy Pride Festival, which just went on this past weekend. Got to go and participate again, and go to the parade and the festival. And John, I ran into your parents.
I saw some photos on the interwebs of that being the case.
They were there too. It was a good time, as it is every year. So it's one of the bigger ones in the country too. It's a good turnout and definitely a fun day and a fun time. And anyone who's in town around that time, definitely recommend going. I want to talk about the NBA Finals, which concluded last night. The Warriors finished the gentleman's sweep, winning in Game 5 at home. They got their victory, concluding the rubber match of NBA Finals, beating the Cavs. We haven't really talked about Game 1. So Game 2, Golden State won 132-113. What do you guys remember about this game specifically, Game 2?
I think the Warriors were good.
Yeah, the Cavs got walloped.
This one.
Yeah. A little bit.
This was basically very similar to Game 1, I think.
Mm-hmm.
in the sense that the Warriors were in control the whole time. KD did his thing.
LeBron was amazing.
Steph did his thing.
But yeah.
LeBron was amazing.
Ran out of steam in the fourth because he's been doing everything the whole rest of the game.
I mean, I think it argued that this game, like most games, it was the third quarter in this game that really turned the tide. Like the Cavaliers actually won the second quarter. They were down going into the half, but it was really the third quarter that turned the tide. And, you know, when you got a team that is en route to 132 points, yeah, you're in trouble.
They just blitz you so fast. That's what they do. I mean, they could just hit you with those 3-4 minute just scoring waves, and it just, you know, it's like nothing you can do, especially when they're at home. The crowd just goes bananas.
Yeah. And that's just it, right? Like, you feel like you play good defense, you get a multiple effort play, and somehow the third guy that you didn't guard was Klay Thompson for a wide open three, right? You guarded Steph, you guarded Kevin Durant, and, you know, you made a great play, and now Klay Thompson's wide open. That's how, you know, and they had a couple good runs, and it was too much for the Cavs. The Cavs honestly didn't look that engaged in this game come the fourth quarter. I mean, they started to look a little defeated. It was a worrisome game in that way, right? Guys were, you know, maybe hanging their head. LeBron kept his guys in, and you know, until there was 2 minutes left. But I mean, this is a full fledged blowout.
You know, I thought Game Three, the first game back in Cleveland. You know, the saying has been the series doesn't start till a road team wins. And it didn't look like Golden State was going to have this one. But right at the end, came back. Kevin Durant hit some pretty tough shots. And they end up winning this one 118 to 113. This one, to me, was the big red flag.
Yeah.
Well, this was the game of the series, for sure. I mean, this was a game that Cleveland had to have. Looked like they could get, right? You know? And Kevin Durant just would not let it happen. And kudos to those Warriors, man. They can rip off points quicker than anybody. But the way that they defended down the stretch, I thought, was the key. They closed down the Cavs. Interesting side note for this game. I saw the fourth quarter of this game. But I was at the Jurassic 5 show, and it was like over, and my friend who I was with was like, oh, man. Let's go watch the end of the game. It's 80-80 with like 5 minutes left. And I was like, 80-80? Oh, the Cavs are going to win this. Like, this is played at their pace. Like, whatever. And we finally get to the bar, and I'm like, oh, it's the third quarter, man.
That sounds about right.
So, yeah. That's just a sign of this series. Basically, every game is in the 110s.
Yeah. So. I don't have the stat in front of me, but I feel like the Warriors, like, this is one the Cavs not only needed to have, but really should have. I feel like they ended up, like, the Warriors ended up scoring like the last 11 points or ended up on 11-2 run, something like that. You know, Durant's post game with, you know, he hits his dagger three. They're up, you know, 4 points or something. And he just calmly walks up the floor with LeBron guarding him and just cans a three from, you know, 26, 27 feet. And, you know, his post game was like, you know, I looked at LeBron. He had 2 feet inside the line. Been practicing that shot all my life. Took it. And he drained it. I mean, just a really special effort from Durant in this game. I mean, really. That guy was so efficient and played great defense. And he makes defenses flex to the breaking point every possession. And they did just enough down the stretch here, and it was in some senses an improbable victory. I mean, Cleveland really should have found a way to win this one, but they did not. And you're right, this was the best game in the series, but it was also effectively the end of the series.
It was incredibly entertaining. I watched this one live, and I was super into it. I mean, it's just two really good teams going at each other, and I thought Cleveland had this in the bag midway through the fourth. They were playing really well. I think Kyle Korver hits a three, and they go up like 7 or 9, they're up, something like that.
Yeah, they're up 6 with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, and I thought, here we go. This is all they got to do is hold on. They had sort of stagnant offense down the stretch. We made some, you know, dribbled the ball too long and let the Warriors' defense collapse on them and stuff like that. But, you know, you've got to give this up to the Warriors for their defense and their instant offense. So,
yep.
The one thing I did take away from this is that is Kyrie Irving the best finisher in the history of the NBA? Like, he was hitting the craziest shots in traffic, layups with
it
weird
absurd.
Spin. It was amazing. Like, it was just absurd. A joy to watch him just go to the basket over and over again and keep hitting stuff. It was so fun.
There were several times in this series when he would drive into the lane and I didn't understand the physics mm-hmm. of how the ball went in the basket.
That's right.
Yeah, there'd be a mess of players and then you would see his arm up and then the ball would hit essentially anywhere on the backboard and then it would just drop in.
That's right. Yeah. It was amazing.
And he probably got fouled too.
I mean, it was a gutty performance from him and he ends up with 38 in that one. LeBron James is 39, 11 boards, you know, 9 assists, but he turns the ball over 5 times. And you know, the guy who stepped up in this game and kept it close was Klay Thompson, who had been cold in games 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he throws up 30 on 11 of 18 shooting and kind of broke out. Even when that team is winning, you can see that all their horses, like, they didn't play a complete game to this point. They really just, they hadn't, the Warriors, that is, had not played a complete game. And they were up 3-0 at this point.
The fourth game, the second game in Cleveland, home team does take this one handily, 137-116.
And how?
Yeah, there was that 49 points in the first quarter, is that right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Set a NBA Finals record. And almost an NBA record for threes in the game. They hit, I think, 24 overall, just making it rain. 22 trips to the line in the first quarter.
In the first quarter?
Yeah, offense was off the charts. They were not losing this game. This game was just a pretty good blowout for the good guys. This kept my dream of the Cavs in 7 alive.
It did not keep my dream of the Cavs in 6 alive. That was unfortunately, my math is bad.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see this game. Was this unfortunately, as with many games, it always seems like there's one game in the finals where the storyline is the referees, right? Harper, you watched this game. Did you feel like it was bad refereeing?
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. But it was terrible all the way around. Like, it was consistently terrible.
Okay.
Both ways, it was a horribly called game. Just, I mean, it was god-awful. Whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But the reality is that Cleveland were the aggressors. Cleveland was hitting everything under the sun. The only thing they couldn't hit was a free throw. They got 22 in the first quarter and missed 8 of those. I mean, they should have scored, you know, at least 53, 54 in that first quarter. And if you're going to let a team score that many points on you, then, you know, ultimately you're going to lose that game. And that's what happened. The right team won this game. LeBron's too good to get swept, and he had his guys ready to play. They had a great game plan, and they did their thing. So it shouldn't be the storyline. I mean, it was horrible. It was awful. And I hope the league's watching film of that all offseason to correct the problems. But, I mean, the storyline here is that the Cavs were magical. Charlie, who I shout out at the beginning of the show, was like, I don't understand how a team can get 22 throws, as he calls them, free throws, in one quarter. How can that be real? And my only answer to that is it didn't seem that far off. This game was so difficult to call because both teams were creating so much contact. And the level of NBA basketball was so high. I mean, it's impossible to call. And did the rest do a good job? No. But the players made it really difficult for those guys. So, you know, kind of spit in our face because we all thought that the Cleveland had to slow this series down in order to have success. And they went out there, pushed the pace, tried to do something different. And when those shots were going down, I mean, they posted 137. So,
Anybody can look good if you're hitting 24 three-pointers. You can play whatever style you want, and you're going to have success most of the time. But that's not going to happen on a consistent basis. Well, at least not yet. Probably within 3 years we'll see that. But
right. Well, yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But the one game that they did win, I mean, at the end of the day, they never tried to slow down this series.
Right.
Right.
Not they really. Or if they did, they did such a bad job of it that I couldn't even tell.
Right.
So.
Last game, game five was last night. Golden State iced this one, 129-120. Yeah, that they were the better team last night as well. You know, I think this game, I think, was actually, the score is actually a little closer than it should have been. But, again, Kevin Durant, phenomenal. I think he had 38, 39. You know, I think, interestingly, LeBron averaged a triple-double for the series. He had just a tremendous series, as well as Kevin Durant did, too. Durant did get the finals MVP, deservedly so. But, you know, I think if this had gone longer, I think LeBron was a little bit more consistent. But, you know, you can't give it to anybody but KD in this five-game series.
Yeah, he shot, like, he had, like, what was that, 35 points and 9 rebounds, shooting, like, 56% from the floor. And, I mean, just ridiculous.
He was on, like, 6 shots, I think.
Yeah, nobody's ever averaged a triple-double in a final series. LeBron is, you know, there's been some discussion, you know, because KD looks so good and you know, the Warriors romped over the Cavs, whether Kevin has taken the mantle from LeBron as the best player in the NBA, and I think that's still not true yet. You know, I really felt like, you know, Kyrie Irving and LeBron versus Steph and Kevin Durant is a really fair matchup. Just you know, two guys, you know, on each team that are just both amazing, and they put up you know, similar stats, you know, comparably. But the fall off after that for the Cavs is pretty precipitous.
The untold story so far, because we just haven't had time to get to it, has been Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. This has been a redemption series for him. People talked about what a bad finals he had last year. I've always argued that he was injured, and it wasn't just the defense that he took. You know, he was not 100%. And in his first finals run, he didn't play terribly. Steph Curry had a great finals. He looked fantastic. This team also got contributions from people like Ian Clark and Patrick McCaw. JaVale McGee looked like a star at times. Like, this team played fantastic, and they deserve every bit of it. You know, we'll get into a bigger conversation about what this means for the league later, but this is a really good basketball team. They're really well coached. They understand their roles, and they go out there and they execute at a super duper high level. I'm with you though, Colson. I really appreciate what Kyrie Irving did in this series. I'm a big Kyrie hater because he believes in a flat earth, and that just frankly drives me nuts. Like, seriously, I can't get past it. But as a basketball player, the guy is, what he did in this series is, I mean, otherworldly. I have really underrated how good Kyrie Irving is as a basketball player.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to the Warriors' style of play. I mean, I think that you're right that there is a talent disparity between the Warriors and the Cavs, but it's not as big as you make it out to seem. I don't think.
No, I mean, the Cavs are an amazing team. I feel like they, you know, if I think this Cavs team is better than it was last year, you know, and I think this Cavs team could have won another title if Durant hadn't joined
in a different year. Yeah. Sure.
You know, I mean, I really do think that they are absolutely fantastic. I don't mean to say that they're just, you know. Yeah.
But I don't think they beat the Warriors. I mean, they were lucky as hell to beat the Warriors last year. I mean, lucky.
But I think this team is better, and I think it would have beat the Warriors without.
Why?
Why are they better this year? I just feel like they were. I feel like they can score better than they could before. Maybe defensively, They're not as strong.
Defensively, they're a mess. I mean, that's what got them through last year is that they could defend.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe they could have kept up offensively with a Durantless Warriors.
Okay.
I just really felt like that was a great team.
I can't fight you on it, but yeah. I just, for me, you know, Jason, I feel like the Cavs were awfully lucky to walk away last year, and the Warriors weren't going to let that happen again with or without Durant.
Right. And I think that it's a style of play thing. Like, that the way in which the Warriors execute their offense is just phenomenal. And, I mean, part of that is, you know, they have the personnel that allows them to do that. But another part of that is just straight-up scheme. Like, how many wide-open layups did they get because of just the weird pick-and-rolls that they do and, like, the rolls off the roll that, you know, just create open looks?
Well, the Cavs were absolutely stealing plays by game four. They were absolutely stealing plays by game four.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, right? So, and, I mean, you know, obviously they have the people that can make the ridiculous shots. You know, Klay Thompson made a few, and Steph, obviously, and KD, but I would argue that Cleveland has just as many dudes. Well, maybe not just as many, but, you know, between Kyrie and LeBron. Well, and I mean, he wasn't consistent, but J.R. Smith, certainly in Game 5, was making some ridiculous three-point shots, right?
That's the only reason they were in that game.
Love had a couple good games in the series.
You know? Right, exactly. So.
He had a couple good offensive games.
He had a 20-rebound effort. Like, that rebounds are defense.
Yeah, guarding your man is defense. He had a couple of good games.
Contextually, you know, everybody around NBA circles is talking about where this Warriors team now ranks amongst the great dynasties or mini dynasties in NBA history. For me, it's still, yeah, I think that 91 to 93 Bulls, those teams were pretty freaking good. Mm-hmm. The 85 to 87 Celtics, in the modern era. Let's stick to the modern era. Right?
Because otherwise, then there's just the Celtics from the, right, from the Bill Russell era, right?
Right. But this team's right up there. In my mind, I mean, they should be a three-time champion, right?
Very easily could have been.
And they've won the most regular season games in a three-year span of anybody. And they have revolutionized the way in which basketball is played.
Absolutely.
So what consists of a dynasty? Like, why is a three-year run, right? I mean, when we look back at other dynasties, is 3 years enough? Does it need to be 4, 5, 6? Like, what? I mean, I feel like when we look back, we go, okay, the Bulls were a dynasty, but they've had 2 three-peats and Jordan went there for 2 years. Is that one dynasty or is that two?
Well, so if we're parsing, I mean, if we are going to parse this, and this is probably not a great conversation for this pod because there's so much else to get into. But Jason, you said, you know, where do we fit this team against other dynasties? This team is brand new. Like, this team is not a dynasty, right? This team is this year's team.
Okay.
You know, if you throw in the year and the year before, like, that's amazing and what they've done. But Kevin Durant changed the complexion of the sport.
Sure.
Right? Sure. So I don't, you know, I think it's too early to give a long-form answer.
He's just too significant of a player.
He's too significant of a player to really talk
that's
about
fair.
It.
That's fair.
So
I feel like all the win totals and the two rings has got to put them in a conversation with the greatest teams of all time, you know.
No. You said teams, though. I'm with you. This is one of the greatest teams. I'm saying
no. But I'm saying not just this year. I'm saying over the last 3 years.
Well, of course, this particular team over the last 3 years, yes. But this is a different team this year. That's all I'm saying. If you want to parse it, I'm parsing it.
Okay, fair enough. So this is the beginning of a new dynasty in your mind, or a new team.
Well, but once Kevin Durant's been there, then it's easier to merge them together, right? Because the team was 1-1 without him, right?
Right, sure.
This is the start. Yeah, this is the start of a new dynasty. But it all goes under warrior cloth, you know.
Is this Cavs team a dynasty? They've gone to the finals 3 years in a row.
No.
No. They've got a ring.
You have to win greater than 50% of the time that you go to the finals.
Okay, is that the... Okay, I like defining this. It's good. I like it.
There have been great dynasties that have lost, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can be a dynasty and... I mean, you know, if you get there every year and you win 45%, I think that's still a dynasty if you get there every year.
What about Wilt and Jerry West on the Lakers that lost all those times to the Bulls or to the Celtics? They won one, but West went to the finals 7 times with those Lakers teams. Like, is that a dynasty?
I would love to give that to them because I can't give them any of the rings that they didn't win.
Sure.
I just think that those were some of the greatest losers that we've ever seen. Next up, we got my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week!
And this week, it's actually from me, which thanks for the ones you guys have done for me. I felt like it was something I would have wanted. I'm going to start this one with a quote. And it is, "So you need moments that later in life that no amount of money will overvalue it. Taking that money in Indiana wouldn't feel like this." That's referring to the $11 million pay cut David West took opting out of his contract. This was when he left Indiana to go to San Antonio, but essentially taking the same contract in Oakland to go play with the Warriors. And this was after his title. David West got his ring. There's a great article in The Undefeated. We'll have a link in the show notes here, but it's kind of the story of Kevin Durant calls up David West when he knew he was going to go play for the Warriors, and he wanted him along for that ride. And, you know, kind of just talking about how his rationale behind taking that big pay cut and how great he feels getting that title. He seems to have absolutely no regrets. You know, I'm happy for him. He was one of my favorite Pacers when he was here. And, you know, I every time he would go out there and just grab a nasty rebound, you know, I know what those guys on the other side were feeling. Because he did that for us for so long. And he about ripped Kyrie's arm off in Game 5. Almost got tossed out of the game in the process, but
that was J.R. Smith's fault. It was a great tech from J.R. Smith. Great tech. He almost caused a fight,
but
with his little weak pushes on David,
and then ran away.
Don't push my guy.
Okay,
but he pushed David West dead into Tristan. So it was clever. I thought it was clever.
Yeah, shout out David West. Shout out Xavier. Bring those rings home. It's 2 years in a row we've had a prominent Xavier person on the podium at the NBA Finals. David West this year, and of course last year, Cavs assistant coach James Posey.
That's right.
Doing his thing.
It was nice to see David West doing David West things on this team. I mean, he had some time. He had some minutes. He had some significant plays in this Finals.
He was important.
Not just ripping arms off people, but like, you know, hitting his jump shot and getting tough rebounds and just doing David West stuff. It was good to see him out there.
And scowling, I thought he scowled very well.
Lots of good scowling.
And you know, I don't know that there's anybody better yelling and one.
And one, right. There's no better at and one.
And I think it's kind of cool that he got his ring beating LeBron's teams after just getting work in the playoffs so many years with the Pacers.
Sure.
Got to go through him some way, I guess. So it's going to happen regardless.
Interesting. So you guys are down with the ring chasers, huh?
Well, I don't know. For me, I Dave West has he's got his money. You know, he's a smart guy. He's not going to blow it. You know, he's a family man, and he seems like he has his business in order. Mm-hmm. And at some point, we've talked about this for some of these huge contracts. Like, what's the difference between, you know, $100 million and $120 million? You know, and don't say $20 million. But you know, at some point in your career, you know, you could just keep taking money forever, but you know, that's not what, if that's not what makes you happy, then go for it.
And as I believe David West said, the Egyptians taught us you can't take it with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So where does that leave us on Kevin Durant? Now that we're all down with ring chasers.
That was a very Socratic thing that you did.
Got me. Damn it.
Yeah, so I have no issue with what Kevin Durant did. I have no problem with it at all. I think that it stands out because we're not used to players actually having agency in professional sports.
Sure.
Right? And we create, you know, because of this weird bump in the cap that created this opportunity, all of a sudden there was this amazing level of actual free agency. And it's a shock to the system, but not unsurprising that really good players want to play with one another to win a lot of basketball games.
Sure.
Like, these are the most competitive dudes on the planet. And yeah, you know, we talked about this, I think, a lot last year when he made the decision. Like, professionally, he was in a bad place in Oklahoma City. He didn't enjoy going to work every day. He didn't enjoy his colleagues, and it didn't lead to success. And so if anybody else in any other professional environment was like that, if you were having a beer with your friend and he was in a situation, he or she was in a situation like that, you would tell them, leave that job and go work for this other company that you enjoy working for, or that those people have fun at work and they do really cool things.
But the KD, so I have, but the KD haters, so, are out there, Coulson.
Yeah, I mean, I totally see where you're coming from, Jason, and I agree with you completely. I mean, I think for me,
it's not good radio.
Well, no. I'm going to disagree a little bit in the sense that,
okay,
as a basketball fan, I'm frustrated by this, because what essentially it's done is made the, you know, every basketball season just one long parade to another Golden State Warriors parade. Like, I mean, I already know who's going to win the title next year and the year after that and the year after that.
Why is that? Why? How do you know that?
Because nobody's going to be able to compete with these guys. They have,
that is the most short-sighted view of the world, maybe three years from now,
but what I'm saying is they have stockpiled, you know, two of the, you know, best five players in the league, and they've added, and they're surrounded by two other guys that are all-stars. Like, there's nobody else in the league that can do that. Now, maybe you can home grow some stuff, you can draft well, you can get better, but I know for the next couple of years who's going to win the championship. And
so you're giving no credit to any of the other GMs or coaches or players in the league that they might be able to innovate away beat the Warriors in a seven-game series.
Go ahead
and
give me a scenario right now that you could think of that somebody's going to be able to compete with them next year outside of injury.
What if Chris Paul ironically went to New Orleans?
Okay. See, now we're talking. And you've got the two big guys in DeMarcus. So you're right. There's a scenario in which I can come up. No, I just no, you're right. There, you know, everybody's – we're raising the level of competition, I suppose, that there are teams out there that will make their teams better. And then, you know, but the rest of us, the fans of teams like Indiana, have no chance of winning, you know, in the foreseeable future, right? Now, there are a few...
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the Warriors.
It does. I mean, I think by Durant going there, he raised the level of basketball, which is, I guess, a fantastic thing. I guess that is a fantastic thing. I want to give him the agency to do it. I think that's great. I'm apparently going to, if I follow this logic, also give Paul George the agency to go to L.A. Like, I guess I'm just going to give up the farm on that. So.
Well, part of this is sort of timing, right? Like, so Curry is well underpaid relatively, like, for his value just because of, you know, the contract he had at the time, you know, where he is in that, you know. And then so when the cap went up, the Warriors had room to sign somebody like Kevin Durant. But, you know, if this had happened a couple years in the past, like, you know, there wouldn't have been room for Durant to make the money that he, you know, should make. So,
I don't think the Warriors are cheating. I don't, they played within the rules.
No.
Durant could have gone and played for, you know, $5 million if he wanted to win rings. Like, you can still do that.
Sure.
Players still have those choices.
I mean, that's.
Soon, not, you know, there's going to be other players are going to be up for their contracts too. So, you know, they're going to have to make the decision. You know, do you take a pay cut or do you go play for somebody else?
Do we just start living in a world where there's only four or five teams that matter? I mean, I guess we already live in that world.
It's been the entire history of the NBA has been that
Yeah,
way.
You're right.
I don't understand where this false outrage comes from, that, like, now all of a sudden we're living in this world, this post-apocalyptic world where basketball is completely different now because Kevin Durant plays for the Warriors.
It's always been like this.
We felt this way in 2000 when Shaq and Kobe were together.
Yeah, we felt like this
when
they
beat the Lakers, and we were like, nobody's ever going to beat this team. Oh, my God, whatever. 3 years later, they got beat in the final.
Right. Like, we felt like this during the Jordan era, you know, like, yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
But I think there's this great irony for me, right? Because LeBron is the guy with the decision who formed a super team, who, you know, who came back and did the whole thing again. And now KD's the bad guy for taking generational money to win rings. Like, how is that on KD? And okay. As you said, Jason, to have a better working environment, it's hard for me to see that.
I'm not mad at
I'm not accusing you of anything. Durant, I'm just saying it's out there in the ether.
LeBron. And I think those people are, yeah, hating for the wrong reason. Like, these people should be allowed, these players should be allowed to go where they want. And if they've got the power to make the teams and, you know, they're this good. I'm saying for me personally, it makes me feel like,
I think your argument's fine, but I think that what's out there though is this thing that KD is a jerk and traitor and a coward and all this stuff. And I think that vibe on KD is not only unfair, but I mean, just not only ridiculous, but misplaced. Like, if you want to blame somebody, blame LeBron for making it possible, right? Like,
it's the job of an organization to do everything it can to keep a player and to make that player happy.
Yeah.
And if that player was not in the right situation, he should be allowed to go to another situation. I completely agree with that.
Right, exactly. And I think that this argument for parity, everybody wants parity. Like, I want every team to be, it's like this weird, I don't know, socialist argument. It's like, I want everybody to be.
It's fantasy basketball, man.
To win the.
Let's redraft the entire league every year.
It's like, no, that's bullshit. That's not how it should be. Like, there are teams that will go in cycles, right? And if you run your operation well, I feel so weird. I'm like the most left-leaning anti-capitalist person ever, and I'm arguing for freedom of the enterprise. So to beat the Warriors, what you'd have to do is run your operation better.
Evolve or die, baby.
Jason, I am not advocating for parity. I'm advocating for my team to have a better chance to win. That's all I want.
Fair. Totally fair.
Well, sure, but I would argue, again, that has nothing to do with the war.
I agree, but it makes me sad that I can't beat them.
Colson, here's the thought. You want your team to win, right?
Right.
I think the Pacers right now have a player who may not want to be there. We are worried that he's going to exercise his agency and get the hell out of town.
Is that C.J. Miles?
That is C.J. no, Paul George.
Oh.
C.J. Paul George. Yeah.
And which I've just said is fine, right? I guess by saying that sure. KD can do it.
You said, the quote that I got was that you encouraged Paul George to leave Indiana.
Go be happy in LA, PG. Just do what you need to do for you.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, I believe is what you said.
So one thing the Pacers could possibly do is you could help the Cavaliers retool and re-weaponize by trading Paul George for Kevin Love. And hopefully for the Pacers, that Kevin Love would want to stay in Indiana longer term than Paul George would. That would be an upgrade for Cleveland because Paul George is pretty solid. It would solve Paul George's problem of not being able to beat LeBron.
Fair enough.
And that would be the Cavaliers' upgrade for round four of Cavs v. Warriors with a loveless team, but a George full team, I guess is what it would be. What do you think about that trade?
So I think we talked last week and the week before that the Pacers are in a terrible spot and we have very little leverage in trades. This actually makes sense to me because the Cavs are in an arms race with the Warriors essentially, and Kevin Love is better than nothing, which is essentially what we'll get if Paul George walks away. And he's not only better than nothing, he's an all-star. And I think his skills would pair very well next to a Miles Turner. And, you're right. He's on a contract for a year or two longer than Paul George is right now. And, I think that's better than pile of garbage, right?
Kevin Love is better than a pile of garbage, for sure.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. But I guess my point is, I don't know how much it moves the needle. Maybe his personality, we've had some personality issues with the team. Maybe it meshes better. He was a beast when he played as the main guy in Minnesota.
Well, those were mediocre teams where he put up 20-20 every night.
Right. Well, welcome to your new Pacer era. I don't hate this. I don't hate this for either team. I mean, I think it makes the Cavs better. It gives us something. If we're gonna have to lose Paul George, I think it makes us still competitive. I think we're still a playoff team at that point.
Kevin Love is how old is he? 28 years old. He's still in his prime. Mm-hmm. He averaged a double double this year. Mm-hmm. With a PER of 21.8.
He once averaged like 15 rebounds a game, didn't he? For a season.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a great passer. And
he's a good
shooter. The thing that intrigues me about this is something that Jeff Van Gundy said, I think it was during the finals game, something like that. He said, if I had a team and I were trying to defeat these Warriors, what I would do is go totally zag mm-hmm. against what they're trying to do. And just murder them on the offensive glass.
Right.
Just, abuse them on the glass would be my plan. And try to change the pace and slow it down and, whatever. And I think with Kevin Love and Miles Turner as your centerpieces, you're one step closer to being able to do that, right?
Right.
I mean, defensively, you're probably not that great, but...
Oh, you're definitely not that great.
Yeah, actually, you're probably pretty poor.
But we're already pretty poor, frankly.
Those guys are pretty good at defense.
Like we're middle of the road defensively. Like, we're not great right now, anyway.
There are things. I think that the geometry seems to work for me though. Somehow, I would want Cleveland to give us like two future first round picks. Though
you can have one in a second.
Right, yeah, you can't get two ones. I mean, this is my concern, my only concern with this, because I think if it's the best package we can get, I'm all in. I think Paul George has the ability to be transcendent. He has moments of transcendence, and I don't know that Kevin Love reaches that level. And so I think, I was hoping to get something back that was at least gamble or a hope that we could find somebody or some pieces that could equal what he did, right? I wanted to get young and get some pieces.
But instead of fundamentally rebuilding our organization, we have a centerpiece. We have a young guy in Miles Turner who can help us get good. We're not really rebuilding all of a sudden, right? Like, we've got a guy. And the idea that we're going to get some – A, Paul George is no longer considered transcendent. I'm sorry. He doesn't have transcendent talent.
Playoff Paul George is pretty amazing.
I'll give you a pretty amazing. Transcendent ain't happened for the guy. It's too late. But he's a good basketball player for sure, and you want him on your team, and he plays two ways. But if you can get Kevin Love, a first rounder in a second, and you can rebuild on the fly, hope you make some, you know, good draft decisions over the next couple of years with Pritchard, Walsh, and Larry Birkins. I mean, I'm not that upset by it. I feel like this is a solid reset, considering that the other option is Paul George walking away for nothing.
Right, exactly. And you could argue, right, that Paul George has the ability to take over games, mm-hmm. which I think is what you mean by transcendent, Colson. But you could argue that Kevin Love has that ability too. He did it multiple times this season as a third fiddle on a championship team.
And his numbers in Minneapolis or Minnesota were great, right? Like,
sure. Okay. Okay, but like you said, if we were to redraft the NBA, if this is your fantasy squad, at what point do you pick Kevin Love to be the centerpiece of your team? What pick?
He's way down the list.
Yeah, I mean, are you picking him 25th, 30th? You know, I mean, he's going to now be the centerpiece of our team, right? The face of our franchise.
Why is Miles Turner not the centerpiece?
Well, I mean, he's the future, but he's not there yet. Right? We learned that last year.
But maybe but Cam, he
comes that in was last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing. I think Kevin Love is. I mean, I throw mad shade at Kevin Love, but he's a really good dude. Like, at the end of the day, he's a good dude. He was thrust into a role. And what I never thought was a great trade. But I should be happy about it now, because if they had Andrew Wiggins, they'd have no interest in Paul George, right?
Right. Yeah, no, the geometry makes sense. I'm all in. Let's call Cleveland.
It was a quick convince.
Joey, you know the people at Cleveland, right?
Yeah, no, I was born there, so I have a special Cleveland phone.
There's only 100 people there, right?
That's yeah. Everybody in Cleveland knows everybody, right?
Yeah.
Well, just give them a ring.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Say we're in. We want a first round draft pick too.
Just throw up a smoke signal in Morse code.
Yep. Okay. Wait, smoke signal in Morse code?
That's correct.
Okay. Some next level stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
I can just text him.
Thinker.
Colson, you could send him a tweet. You could send him a tweet.
Ooh,
if you could.
No, I don't know how to do that.
Oh, he could, but it ended up in India somewhere, and he changed the face of some, you know, Hialeah franchise.
Oh, that's how we got our Slack hacked into.
You hanging out with some weird? How do you say that?
Hialeah.
Hialeah.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with India, by the way. I was just being as random as possible.
Are you doing fantasy Hialeah this year, Colson?
I just know that you're supposed to you were supposed to John proof the internet, and you didn't do it. You're our tech guy, Joey.
Jeez, that is remember, a big job.
Hialeah's Malaysian.
I think that's right. Remember, not that long ago, when your Skype account was sending out. Invites to Russian websites.
Yes,
to us.
I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
You got your password changed, right?
I did.
Okay.
Because you sat down and made me do it.
I did. Why? Yeah. It's important to do that. Hockey's done.
Go Penguins.
Ish.
Penguins win.
Beats Nashville, I guess.
Yeah.
Was that on our Slack where there was a gif of Kevin Durant joining the Pittsburgh
team. Yeah, he's strong. Yeah. I think Kevin Durant's next move, Pittsburgh jersey.
Yeah, we got the draft is next Thursday, June 22nd.
Oh, boy.
So I better do some brushing up on my prospects for our draft pod next week.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kevin Pritchard is going to break the league in about a week, so things are going to go nuts. So I'm excited. I really do have a ton of faith in Kevin Pritchard, so it should be an interesting week.
There's also the NBA award show, which will be coming up, I think, here pretty soon.
I have no faith in that.
No. I will not... be paying close attention, but we will find out things like all the end of the season awards.
It's the MVP. Remember that MVP race that we talked about?
Don't care about that anymore.
You know, it's funny. We decided to save our award show until right before their award show, you know, because to line it up, but now we don't care. We're skipping the award show this year, right? It's so far away, we don't even remember.
Think about it. Like, are you still, like, in your head, are you still, like, real excited about the Harden and Westbrook?
We were fired up about 3 months ago about
that. It was two guys who didn't get very far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Congratulations for busting your ass all season to get knocked out of the playoffs.
I'm pretty sure I said if Russ got a triple dub, he should take. And that happened. Sure. So I'm pretty sure I still got Russ. But outside of that, I don't care about anything.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. KD broke basketball.
Are they going to fix this, right? This is the only time they're doing this one.
Unless
the ratings are super great.
The ratings are the best since 96, yeah.
Well, no, but I mean the ratings for the award show.
Oh, for the award show. Oh, yeah. Good question.
Yeah, I think they'll wait and see. There's no they don't have to like book this thing out years in advance. They do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
With Twitter and everything these days.
I agree, you're right. This seems silly.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the ratings for the show are going to be better than any there's no bump to any particular game where they give away that particular thing, right? Like,
right.
So they're getting something as opposed to nothing, which is what they were doing before.
Yeah, because I felt like the way that they did it before was like sort of throughout the playoffs, like they would just kind of like make an announcement in the afternoon or whatever, and then whatever, like the next time.
And like if the guy was at the game and he happened to be playing, they'd hand him a piece of hardware.
Yeah.
Right, sure.
They just mailed it and it was fine.
why don't they drop this award show like a week into the playoffs or something like that? You know, like.
Because no one can go.
Because half the players can't attend.
Mm.
Except the MVP candidates. They're not
free. They're already out.
Why don't we take 3 days off in the after the first round?
Oh, yeah. Good call, Colson. Really? Let's extend the playoffs.
The playoffs aren't long enough for you.
No, in my plan, I'm making going back to the five game first round. And then I'm making room for this award show.
Oh, well then now, sure.
Are you going to do like the schools did? Like when we were in school, you had like a long summer, but right now they've got like maybe 3 weeks break. You just want to go like to that?
Yeah, we're just 3 week break in between seasons.
Year-round NBA.
Just year-round basketball.
Yeah.
Let's go, you know, people are talking about, you know, shrinking the schedule, but I think we should lengthen it. It should be a 100-game season, but just spread it out.
I feel like you could stick
off to June 15th.
Yeah.
You get a week off for Christmas. That's what you get.
Yeah. Except on Christmas Day. You got to play all
those
games.
Play a million games that day.
Yeah.
But other than, you know. And we'll give you a day off on July 5th. How about that? Everyone rests on July 5th.
That's biblical, isn't it?
Sure.
What Bible are you reading? I think it's time
to
go.
And the Lord said, it is good. We're resting on July 5th.
I'd like to thank you, the listener, for being here with us and listening to this nonsense. Your parents brought you up better than that. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. If you're listening to this show, not as a podcast, you can listen to it as a podcast. You can subscribe to it. That's on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else you get your podcast. And if you're on iTunes, give us a review. It really helps other folks find our show. Give us a thumbs up or a likey or 5 stars or 2 stars. Whatever you like.
Don't give us 2 stars. That's terrible. We're way better than 2 stars. So I went to... So I was in... That was an eye roll from Joey.
It's a total lack of argument for the rest of us. Got you 2 stars right here.
So I was in Leland, Mississippi yesterday at the birthplace of Kermit the Frog. I've done this before, but I'm going to, in his honor, and in honor of our once and always coach, Bobby Sick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over. And in honor of the poor woman that, wonderful, Mary Ann was her name. She had to listen to the Rainbow Connection sung by Kermit the Frog on a loop. And it's a wonderful song, but I think probably
times.
After about 3 hours, you might go crazy. And she's been working there for like 20 years.
Did you ask her to at least mix in our version?
I didn't tell her about the pod. She didn't ask about the Pacers.
I wonder if she even hears it anymore.
Yeah, probably not.
Like it's just, yeah. It's like when you go into a place that smells really bad, and at first it smells really bad, but after a while you get used to it.
Yeah, how long do you have to be in Gary before it starts smelling normal?
Sure. She also had like this little teacup dog with her, you know, like a little small dog. That dog's probably crazy too.
Unrelated, but yes.
Oh, man.